Amen. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. Now we're going to move a bit quicker towards our goal. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. Yesterday and this morning as well, we looked at the different kinds of meetings, right? And we said there are different kinds of meetings. You know how to prepare. And as a pastor too, you must know the kind of meetings that you hold. The different meetings that are biblical, that has their own purpose. We mentioned the teaching meeting, we mentioned the prayer meeting, we mentioned the evangelistic meeting and the healing services. And we also mentioned the workers or ministers meetings, which is an example of what we're having here. We equally now spoke about the Holy Ghost and believers meetings. So which means we have a purpose, because things should be done in order. What kind of meeting are we having here? For example, if you say we're going for a prayer meeting and we're going for a long haul prayer meeting and you come dressed with suits and tie, you wear with 3-piece suits and we came for an all night prayer meeting, it's likely they didn't tell you what we were coming to do. So really, it will show in how you prepare for such occasions. And this morning also, yesterday we started looking at the word shepherd. And then this morning we saw that one of the things we were described to was a fisherman. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9 and 35. Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now synagogue is a mini temple. That's what it is. It's like a temple, but not a temple, but it's like a mini temple, like a church building of those days. And healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. So we said preaching and teaching are synonymous, right? They are not opposites, they are not contrasts. Verse 36, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. 38, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we said that this laborer that is being sent is a shepherd. A shepherd goes out to get the sheep. Earlier on in chapter 4, we read that also this morning in chapter 4, where he saw Peter and his brother just after the temptation. And he says to them in verse 18, they were fishers. Then verse 19 says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I think in the morning we identified the seas, right? The seas, the waters, and the essence of being fishers of men. Now let's get a little bit more deliberate. So we're going to look at the pattern of Jesus and the fact that he's the good shepherd. He himself is a good shepherd. He is also a shepherd. So his ministry is that of a shepherd. And if that of a shepherd, he's also a fisherman. Because it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me simply means copy me. Follow my example. Now let's look at a pattern that he adopted. Which is one thing we're going to lead to also in the book of Acts. When he did that, and he called Peter, Matthew 4, Peter in Matthew 4, and his brothers, two of them, Simon Peter and Andrew. Then in verse 21, he had two other people, Matthew 4, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother in the sheep, mending their net, and he called them. They left their sheep and followed him. Now there were others that he equally called like that, and they also followed him. Now, what did he do with them? Why did they single out these people? There was a reason why they were singled out. And that's the wisdom that we trust God that we'll receive tonight in Jesus' name. So he singled certain people out. Matthew 9 again. Matthew 9. Is it 9 I want to read now? Or is it 8? Okay, Matthew 8 first. We read it in the morning, but we read in Luke's account, where he, in verse 19, a certain scribe, Matthew 8, said to him, "Master, I will follow you wherever you go." Then he said to him, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Then he said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." And when he was entered to the ship, his disciples followed him. Now, notice that he called them disciples. So, there was now a step further, which was out of the multitude. That is, Jesus is teaching. Notice that Matthew 9:35. He's teaching everybody. So, he has the everybody ministry, where he's teaching everybody. He moves from the synagogues through the cities. Why then does he call some people specially? He calls them. Which shows that there is a huge difference between those who hear you and those who follow you. There are those who hear, and usually I like to call them fans. They love the information, but they don't care about the instruction. Fans, hey, yeah, they can cheer you, they can say everything. They are the fans, and they're fine. I mean, they're part of the work of the ministry, so they're part of the multitude. But he now specifically calls certain ones, which we have seen. He said, "Follow me." So he picks out certain people and he says, "Follow me." And we saw it repeat itself in Luke 9, three of them now. The one that said, "Okay, I want to follow you." The one that said, "I want to go and bury my father." The third one that said, "I want to go and tell my people." He said, "Follow me." So, now where were they following him to? I think that's the question we should ask. Follow me to do what? What were they following him to do? Remember again, there is the mass meeting where he teaches everybody, where he preaches to everybody, where he everybody's exposed to his ministry. Matthew 9:35, Matthew 4 again, 34 and 35. He's going from village to village, he's having meetings and all of that. But he now says, "Follow me." So as we reach the world, okay, as we talk to the multitudes of people, there are those that follow you. And how are they important? Who are these people? Mark 3:14. Wisdom is the ability to know the difference between those who come to hear you and those who are here to follow you. Mark 3:14. Look at this. I want us to read it together. Mark 3:14. Are we there? Alright, let's go. "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. In that Luke 9, I've quoted it like twice, but now let's read it now. Luke 9. In verse 60, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom." The same thing in verse 62. "No man puts his hands on the plow and looks back, his feet for the kingdom of God." So verse 1 of chapter 10, "After these things," Luke 10, "appointed other 70. So you see, the instructions he was giving them was to choose those who will follow him. Okay? So he says, he now appointed another 70. What was it about that 70? They were just like the 12. They will follow him to preach, or let's say to serve. Now, which means that in the multitude, as we send our net out, we said in the morning that we cannot be fishing in other boats, right? Very well. The sea still has many fish. Many people are there. Okay? So we go and now have those that will follow us. You cannot focus on everybody. Same way a minister of the gospel cannot focus on the body of Christ. You will be too distracted. Only Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. Okay? So, he chooses certain people. We find the 12, then we have the 70. At no point did the multitude cease. The multitude was still there. They'll come for all the meetings, all the special programs. They'll come to hear him preach. They'll come to him heal the sick. But there was a 12 and a 70. And he picked the 70 in the same order he picked the 12. Even though he gave them different privileges. So Mark 3:14 says that they might be with him. So, whatever he did with them, of course it wasn't a scene, or nothing sinful or secretive or something like that, was not in the public glare. Whatever he did with them was not in the public glare. They might be with him. Those were the ones in Mark 10, let's get to Mark 10 a bit, Mark 10, where he says in verse 28, Mark 10, where they told him, we have left everything, Mark 10, to follow you. We've left everything to follow you. In 28. Then he says, there is no man, notice he didn't say to follow God, to follow you. There's no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel. Now, in proper grammar, it should be my sake, which means the gospel. Does it make sense? Good. For he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, in the world to come, eternal life. Many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So, which means that to follow him is to follow the gospel. So he now had those that were hearing the gospel, the multitude, and those who were dedicated to the gospel. It's not the same. What I said now is not the same. And you must know. Those that are hearing the gospel, they'll like your teaching, they'll like the message, they'll do all that. But those who are now dedicated to it, who have left all, remember in the morning we said that's priority, right? So they are dedicated to him, which is the gospel. So he has the 12, then he has the 70. And in the ministry of Jesus, he spent more time with the 12 than the 70, more than the multitude. I take that again. He spent more time with the 12, eventually we'll see with the 3, then there's 1. So with the 12, with the 3, with the 70, then the multitude. The multitude always came around. They'll come, they'll hear the word, they'll be blessed. They had the miracles of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. They came around to touch the hem of his garment, his clothes. They are healed, cured, and blessed, and we thank God for them. But Jesus did not build the work on the multitude. No, he didn't. At every point in time, you and I must pick out who. Now, outside the multitude, there was nowhere the multitudes were called his disciples. They were in the congregation. They would fill the congregation. They were there. They were blessed. They would even defend him. But you see, they were not the disciples, because disciples are definite. The word disciple, I know you know, is someone who is a student. In Matthew 11:28, having spoken about the revelation of the Father in 27, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light, my yoke is easy." Then it says, "He, I am lowly of a meek in heart. Learn of me." Now, notice that, of course, that verse has been turned to any kind of thing now. "Come unto me, all you that are looking for husband, I'll give you husband." That's not come up, faith. It's not talking about earthly problems. A yoke is used for a master-student relationship. "Take my yoke upon you," which means now you will follow me. "Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest." Which means we're going to have a relationship of knowledge, where I will impart just not knowledge and information. Pardon me. I'll also impart myself to you. So, when it comes to that set of people, there's more than an information relationship. There is a learning relationship. That is why the word disciple is similar to the word apprentice. Somebody who is learning your trade, is learning what you are doing. It's, you know, you are practically putting him through things and watch me. Remember when I was first qualified, as a lawyer, and I worked in a firm. And then the man will say, "Watch what I'm going to do." I saw there was a huge difference between what I was reading and what I was seeing. They were connected because it's law, but now I could see that it's not grammar. Real life issues. Sometimes, and they brought one case to our firm, the Chambers then, Obekene and what's his name again? And Coca. And so that's Opebi Road. And then we sat there, and the woman brought her case, and I was almost emotional. Eh? My boss said, "What's wrong with you? You think we're in church?" You know, I felt really funny. So he now said, "No." So we sit back, and so I saw how he handled. I was watching how he handled the clients, and then eventually one of the cases we got to court, and I saw him. Now somehow, everything I learned from my first year in the university and through law school now just came alive. I could practically see what he was saying. I could see it. You know, then that's how you know, usually every lawyer knows the very first time you appear in court. I've not seen anyone, I think one guy was, you fidget, no matter how bold you are. It's your first time. People usually will know, they'll just laugh, it's his first time. You know, you just, the second time, you'll be ready to know whatever you guys are saying. So that's practical. Why? Because my boss showed me. You could see it. Oh, okay. So all the things you put in your head, like you're cramming scripture, now let's see it work. Someone will have to show you. So Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, the interesting thing about that, those guys did not know he was going to die. So they weren't prepared to take over his ministry. So they were just students. Now, let me add this, this is very critical. The fact that they could document his ministry without knowing it was going to be scripture eventually is also important. Which means they could put it to heart. Now, of course, it was first oral because they were first preaching it. Then they wrote it because they wrote most of those accounts about 40 years afterwards. But how were they able to recall the relevant events? They were disciples. They went in there, "God, tell them, Papa." No. There were those watching him.
watching, looking at it.
A whole lot of the grace of God rubs on people by observation.
Observation.
When you follow your pastor, even his jokes will look like prophecy. You'll be so, you take it so seriously. Because you are reproducing something. Are you here? So they are paying attention. That is why upon the resurrection they look like clones. They are paying attention. I mean real attention. So, and notice, this is also important. When Jesus was talking, they were quiet. They asked their questions when they were alone. They are that kind of, that means there was a meeting that was not public. All the things we normally talk about them and we scold Peter, it wasn't public. We'll come around and say, Pastor, what did we, where did we mess up again? Then they correct him. So they observed him. So all the times they will be in the boat and then the Peter will say, ha, what's going on? I think this wind is increasing. It's increasing. They say it's not the move of the Spirit. It's not the move of the Spirit though. This wind is increasing. The waters are getting to the boat. So where's pastor? He said, pastor is inside somewhere. What's he doing? Is he praying? Go and check. He's not praying. It looks like groanings. No, he's snoring. See what's going on. And then the waters are increasing. They have to go and wake pastor. Pastor Jesus. Care us not that we perish. Then he got up like this. He first of all calmed the storm, then said, why are you of little faith? It looked like a bad scenario, but that is exactly what the discipleship was about. They observed it. They were panicking. He wasn't. Again, it looked like when he said, Peter said, if it be you, bid me to come. And he said, come. And Peter is going on the waters. And then he says, start to sink. Then Jesus goes after him immediately. Rescues him. Notice every instance, he will solve the problem, then correct. They were learning. He did not do that for the crowd. In every ministry work, you must know the distinction. Who is who? So he said, why did you doubt? Peter said, I no go doubt. Well, you were still far off, my Lord. By the time I got to the middle, I looked at the wind. I wasn't even sure it was you anyway. Why would I say, Lord, I perish? It's learning. Learning. Because he brought them first of all to be with him. To observe. In Matthew 13, after he had, given the parables, they act like they understood. He said, yeah, pastor, when they were gone. He now said, why do you talk to them in parables? Can you imagine? Are you not part of the people? he said, to them because they are without, but to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To them, it's not given. Look at the distinction. They have such privileges to hear him. It took them apart to pray. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. So that they saw him pray, and then they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11, 1. Teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples. They saw it. This is not the teaching that is, for the multitude. No. But don't forget, he took them from the multitude. So he's now building. Now don't forget, the multitude are not going to go. They'll keep going to the multitude. After a while, what happens? Look at the Peter. Peter in Luke 5 gave him his boat. Jesus used his boat. Then the same set of people notice the things he does. He sends them to preach. When he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send for laborers into his own harvest. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. What does he do? In Matthew 10, 1, he sends out the 12. Why is he, what's he doing that for? He's training them. By the time they came back, you saw the responses they gave. He had to instruct them, don't go this way, go that way. And I mean, practically, you know, he didn't say, you know, just go. The Holy Ghost will show you the way. No, that's not a trainer. A trainer will be that Holy Ghost. Don't go this way, don't go that way. Some people say, that is legalism now. Why should you tell me what to go, what to say? So if they accept you, preach. If they don't, take your bag, leave. You say, about why must I take my bag and leave? Am I not also a child of God? I'm a child of God now. You can't tell me what to do. Those are the fans, right? He told them exactly what to do. He told them what to preach. He said, preach the kingdom of God. What they have been hearing him preach. He didn't say, preach what you are led to say. Disciples teach you verbatim. 2 Timothy 2:2, we'll come to that later. The things you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same teach. Commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That's why you notice in the Great Commission, he didn't give anybody any individual message. If we are disciples and learning, we're all going to teach the same thing. Now, I tell people this oftentimes. Trying to be unique is foolish. You're already unique. Can you see your height? Your skin color? And those of you that, you know, somehow out of the will of God follow Chelsea, can't you see you're unique already? Nothing else shows you the wrath of God than following that club. You can't get the microphone. I have the microphone. So you're already unique the way you talk, what you like. Look at the kind of wife you married. That's your uniqueness. You know, look at the kind of husband you married. That's why you're so trying to be unique is foolishness. You are already unique. No matter how much you get, you have this your own uniqueness. And usually it will come with time. With no pressure, with not trying to be. Don't let them think that I'm preaching like somebody else. No. At the end of the day, it's still somebody else you are going to copy. Because man is a product of influence. There's nothing you are doing today that you did not copy somebody.
Yeah.
Everything you are doing, at best, you copy the devil. I'm just joking. But you see, that's what it is. So, he gave them the same message. Everybody. It's not a madhouse. Everyone preaches the same thing. He gave them the authority. Luke 9:2, over unclean spirits and over devils. He sent them out. They came back and he said, wow, oh my God. In Luke 10, they said, oh, Father, the doctor, the demons are talking. And they're excited. And then he said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. That's how a teacher is talking. All that your excitement. I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And they go, behold, I give you power. Now, can't you see? I gave you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is, he's reminding them what he gave them. Disciples are surprised. The pastor is not surprised. He's not saying I'm giving you. He has given them a Luke 9:2. So can I give you? So, that's true. That's true. So, however, notwithstanding, and this rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, rather because your names are written in heaven. There was a guy in Luke 9, that should be 49 or so, who was casting out demons. And he said, Pastor, there's somebody who is preaching the word. It's not from Power City. He said, if it's not against us, that's discipleship. Every instance they are learning something. Because one day, there will be Saul of Tarsus. He's preparing them. Who will not be from the Jerusalem church? They're learning.
So he says, Pastor, he said, the demon said, no, rejoice not in this.
Rather, because your names are written in heaven. In our Luke 10:21, it says, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He showed them practically what to rejoice over and how to do it. Someone told me, he said, when I see some people say they are rejoicing in the Holy Ghost, they are doing the same thing. Don't you have your own dances? You say someone, one is Kelewu. You see, Kelewu not, does it not rhyme? Why is that your problem? Is that simply your problem? So they saw him do it. They said, oh, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven. You have hidden these things from the prudent and the wise. And you revealed them unto me. This you did because it's so pleasing in your sight. So they are watching him. Some things, no, they move past all. Even all the demons, when we talk, he's not even moved. Now our names is written in heaven. That one, in the shaka. You know, that is what happens. They are now learning. They are learning. That's why it was not difficult. When they came to Peter and said, oh, you guys are... Peter said, no, it's not by our holiness. Now we have made this man to walk. They knew that. Acts 3:12. They knew that. They had seen it in Jesus. So when it comes to that three, those three, or the 12, or the 70, they are not the crowd. No, they are not. So, notice that the four gospels was a whole lot about the 12 and the 70. A whole lot about unto the resurrection. So he will correct them. They saw how he answered questions. They saw how he handled civil authorities. They saw it. It was not just the things he was teaching, but the things he was doing and the things he was instructing. Now look at more. They saw him handle their own ambitions. Their ambitions was tough. Peter and John brought mommy to church. I'm sorry, James and John. Mommy came. Interestingly, they were relatives of Jesus. And he said, ah, Jay, thank God for your ministry. All right, auntie. You know, John and James, there's nothing they are cuckoo doing. It's you they have been following. In fact, it's only your teaching they play at home. Every morning till night is riot. So I'm just thinking, James can be number two. John can be number two, too. Has she said that word? All the other 12 on the vex. Why? You think they their mind too? Say, what does he even mean? When did he even join? Peter will say, he called me first too, remember? Andrew, he called me. I was the one that called you inside. I said, it's true. Matthew, you know you were number five. But the way he called me was different. Everybody was arguing. Which means that the same thing did their mind. You know that when Jesus said on the table that one of you is going to betray me. Hey! Everybody called a look. Lord, is it me? That means they all had the same capacity. You know, they were so vexed. The Lord, tell me, is it me? That is the nature of these people that you are going to be overseeing. Don't be shocked. Jesus had all sort of characters. Lord, is it me? So, as they were casting out demons and coming back, and then in John 4, why was Jesus left alone with the woman at the well? They had gone to the market. I mean, after binding demons, casting out demons, they say, oh boy, come and go to the mall. With the grace of God upon my life, sir, I'm sorry, sir. I was thinking that you asked me to go and pray in tongues. Oh, go and get food. You know, that's the difference. They are not just going for evangelism, they will come and clean church. Can I have an amen? Amen. You know, years ago, I think about 29 years. I had this group of friends. They are still my friends, but two of them are gone now to the good Lord. So we used to call ourselves the College of Bishops. Some people are surprised when I say things like this. College of Bishops. So we gave ourselves different titles. We do meetings and all. So we went for a camp meeting. Under a man that somehow then was responsible, you know, to teach and train us. Had a camp. So we had done our own Holy Ghost meeting at night. So we slept. When everybody woke up in the morning to go and do devotion, we the apostles, we stayed behind to just sleep. After all, we lay hands. We have to keep the hands that we lay. Precious hands. I mean, this is the ordinary hands. So we're sleeping. So Pastor Shola, you know, he came to us and said, wake up! That's why people like that. They don't look at your face. Wake up! We're all pastors in our different. I looked at him and said, sir, the toilet is not clean. Ah. I felt really bad though. Ah! I just told myself, toilet. Yeah. Me, the voice of God to this generation. The uncommon teacher of the uncommon scriptures. Ah! I know the toilet, I don't know whether you've been to Body House. There's a toilet that looks like Gehenna. You know the toilet that you have to pound? Ah, yeah, yeah. He took us and he said, you know, drop one statement. He said, oh, your anointing cannot wash toilet. I can't forget that statement. Ah, I'm not coming. What was the man teaching us? Humility. If you were God, you wouldn't even near tree, purpose of dying for our sins. Say, well, guys, I'll have died for your sins, but I'm God. Can you imagine me in the womb of Mary? Mary, oh, Mary, oh, no, no, no. You mean me, I will not start sucking our breasts? No, no, no. I'm the creator of heaven and earth. No, no, no. You know, Jesus had to rely on Mary's breast milk. Jesus used to poo. Or you think that his poo just went? He will fart. Many will say, Jesus. He will run away from me and say, Jesus, to come here in Jesus' name. You know, and that was all to show us how to serve. Jesus at 8:12 now sat down with the scribes in Luke 2, 46 and 47, and he's learning. You know that they taught him. He's learning. He's sitting down, asking questions. So these guys are just free casting their demons. Go and get food. Make sure you price it very well, Peter. All right, Lord. I didn't send you for evangelism. Go and get food. Some guys, they won't come back with the food. They come back with souls. Is that what they sent you? What else? In John 6, Jesus was going to work a miracle. He asked them, go and make people sit down. They were ushers. So he didn't just teach them how to preach and teach. Because if that's all you know, you are not yet a servant. You don't want to preach. Some guys just want to preach. You don't want to preach. Preach. There was one guy that told me that back then, he said, I have a word of the Lord for the church. That's in 1998. I said, hey, what department do you belong to? He said, well, the kind of ministry I have, really, I'm preserving the anointing. I have a word for them. I said, hey. So all of us here, who come to serve, we don't have anointing, annoyance we have. I said, hell will freeze over the day I give you a microphone. It will be a cold day in hell. Microphone. I'm saying, sir, if they are prophesying and the guy wants to give you a prophecy, I said, don't give me a microphone. Who wants to hear your prophecy? Amen? Amen. Above Jesus. You can't come on Saturday to clean church. You can't come out over and say, yeah, what of the Lord call? Lord of the world me. He asked them to send the people down. Peter will say, please move now. No, join that row. Uh-huh. When they were sharing the fish and bread, they just say, hey, Thomas, can I have one more loaf? So I say, please take one, give me that one. After healing the sickle, you are not sharing loaf of bread. Say, please, this one, no, I don't want that one. Can I have this? is that a lot of humility? After you have healed lepers, somebody saying, please bring the fish. Please, hey. Jesus is teaching them how to serve. And they're doing that. When he was going to have the Passover, he said, go and make Passover for me. Passover is not this bread and wine we are using as give magic. Passover, you go and steam lamb. You went to cook. What are they learning? They are not just hearing about the message. They are being addicted to it in service. This is the strength of a word ministry. Not those who will say, yeah, I like what you are teaching. I like what you are preaching. I will know it when you show up on Saturday. I'll know it. That dedication. And don't forget, they gave their all. Peter gave his boat. The boat was like his life, his income earning, device. He gave it to serve. We can go on and on. They gave their homes for Jesus to preach from. These are not the kind of guys that are thinking what percentage to give. They see it as their lives, their own life, and they dedicate themselves. So these people, he called them to be with him. Look at Acts 1. In Acts 1:21 and 22, don't forget, they didn't know he was going to die, lest be raised from the dead. Peter was looking for someone. Now, pay very good attention to this one now. He was looking for someone who was going to replace Judas. He said, one that was a witness of his resurrection, who was with us from the beginning at John's baptism. Now, that's very significant. There are those who likely, because they were cousins of Jesus in the salt, who had known him before them. So because somebody had known you for years is not a qualification. It's the relevant time. From the bottom of John, he says, till the day he was taken from among us, who went in and out. So which means, such people were punctual. They were available. They were not available because they felt he was going to leave at some point. Then people can pretend if you tell them that. And then give them work to do. They were available because they were learning. And they were not just learning the deep, some people, they will like the deep teachings. When doctor is teaching us things like, let us talk about the fatherhood of God. They say, wow, I love that teaching. And then when he's asking, four important things about service. That one, he now quotes no Greek word. Or Hebrew word. It just goes direct. You say, doctor is becoming legalistic. It's becoming. We're going to pray. Why are we praying? Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, Romans 8:34, making intercession for us. It is done. No. They were in and out. They were uncomfortable moments. They were there. And Jesus didn't answer all their questions at each point, at all the times. No. They watched him. Peter says, in and out, which means that if we are going to choose people into important positions, we must look at their availability. Nobody must be dashed responsibility. We dash you in Jesus' name. No, you must qualify. They were in and out. They were his 12, his 3, his 1, his 70. Don't forget what we're saying. He still had the multitude, right?
Alright, good.
But the multitude were never called his disciples. They attended his meetings. They got blessed. They got healed. And they got all the miracles. But they were not his disciples. Now listen. So, he has that set of people, which is why we're going to say to ourselves, and I thank God for what Pastor who led the prayer said, we must understand focus. Jesus really focused on them. It's when you are distracted that you focus on everybody. I say it like this. When you are distracted, you do everything. When you are confused, you do anything. Now, when you are possessed, you are doing nothing. It's important for us to know focus. Who and what should I focus on now? If you focus on the body of Christ, you will not reach the body of Christ. No, you won't. So focus. Where are the 3? Where are the 12? There are some things that you will say because only the 12 are there. There are things you say because only the 3 are there. And there are things you say because there's just one person who is there. Knowing how, who, where. Now here. So, Jesus has this number. Very important. Paul will write to the church in Ephesus. We're going to see that shortly. Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed to yourselves, right? Acts 20, 28, are you there? Take heed to yourselves and to the body of Christ. No. Take it to yourselves and to the flock. The flock. Specific. Over when the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Now, he's talking to a group of guys who had different congregations. Which means, even within a church like this, if I'm the pastor of zone 1, I take it to zone 1. That's my responsibility. If I'm pastor of zone 2, I take it to zone 2. That's where my focus is. Over with the flock, the Holy Ghost, sorry, has made you overseers. You must know who is who. There are people today that ask me questions, and I'm not obligated to answer their questions. But I'm not your pastor. If you invite me to preach, I don't have an obligation to pray for your meeting. If you are not praying, too bad. But if I'm in the congregation where I have oversight, I will pray like tomorrow will never come. That is my duty. There is nobody who is the father of all the children in this world. Who are your disciples? Who are they? Look at John 17. Learning something. You must understand focus. That is why some people who are using on Facebook, social media, does it matter to you? You don't know them now. I don't know you. I don't give a damn, really, because I don't know you. This man of God, opinions are like noses. Where it's important for me is where I go to on Sunday, on Wednesday, during the week. That's where my focus is. Jesus spent more time with these guys. Taught them more. We have to understand the power of focus. Look at John 17. Are we together here? Are we together, guys? John 17. John 17. Look at what Jesus said. In verse 12. In fact, sorry, verse 9. No, let me even start from verse... Let me start from verse 2. Thou hast given him power over our flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, John 17, 3, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth, I've finished the work which you gave me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the foundation of the world. Now, let's read verse 6 slowly together. I have manifested thy name to the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gave them me, and they have kept thy word. 7. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words that thou givest me, and they have received them, and have surely known that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send. Is this specific? It's very specific, right? Now watch this. Let's take verse 9 together. I pray. Stop there. Can you see? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are all yours. All mine are thine, all thine are mine, I'm glorified in them. Look at verse 11. Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me, I've kept, but none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. So, did Jesus separate some people? Come and talk to me, people. He did. Who are the them? Now, listen. Did he only teach them? No. Even send them to the cities. But he had a primary focus on them. He taught them. He said, I'm not praying for the world. Interestingly, we're going to read a text now. I'm not praying for the world, I'm praying for them. Which means, it's good to pray for the body of Christ. But you see, your primary prayer life should be for them. Are we here together? For them. You must know parity. Without understanding parity, you see, you won't be anything but an irresponsible person. Well, everybody, people and the people's school fees are not being paid. So you take your entire salary, your children, you give it to those whose schools are not being paid. You are an irresponsible person. Your first responsibility will be your family. Why? You brought them into the world, they call you father, and all things like that. So you owe an obligation. We must know where our primary responsibility lies. Are we here in church? So he said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them. The ones you gave me. I don't pray for everybody. I pray for these ones. These are the ones I'm praying for. Quick one. Look at something that now happens. John 17. Now look at verse 14. Let's take 14 together. I've given them that word. John 17. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Is it very specific? Very well. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now look at 18. Now pay attention. You see, he focused on them. Then 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, watch this now, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Now look at something that looks like a contrast. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which, verse 20, shall believe on me through their preaching. So by investing in these ones, he is doing what? Reaching the world. You cannot focus on everybody. Things can be happening in the body of Christ. Look away. Focus on the 3, the 12, the 70. With what in mind? The world. When we multiply disciples, we multiply ministry. You cannot multiply disciples by focusing on the world. You focus on the 12. Some of us can be extremely careless. You have 2 people walking to your house fellowship. 2. And you are praying, oh God, we cover the earth. The earth just entered into your fellowship. We cover the earth. We cover the earth. And you are seeing that great, you know, you see the auditorium filled up. You see the streets filled up. You are looking at the harvest, ignoring the seed. The nations that will reach the whole world was in a boat. Are you here? The nations that will reach Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost part of the earth was a tax collector. The nations that we're going to reach was in some teenage boys. Because virtually, historically speaking, except for Peter, and maybe Matthew somehow, most of those guys were teenagers. Rough looking boys. And with them was the whole world. Just like when Paul was rescued in Acts 9 and they put him in a basket. You know, those guys who let down the basket were letting down about half of the New Testament and many nations put together. In your fellowship, in your cell group, are people that will reach the world only if you can see it. You must invest in them. You must be so focused, so focused, that what matters to you the most are those numbers. Don't forget, somebody asked me a question. He said, what should I focus on? Evangelism or discipleship? I said, that's a very funny question. He's like saying, what should I focus on? To breathe in or breathe out? You can't have discipleship without evangelism. It's not possible. Because what are you discipling them with? Evangelism. But you are focused on men and women who are being reproduced. You are reproducing yourself. You must understand focus. That is why, don't focus on other boats. Focus on your own boat. I'm grateful to God. I have some guys who work together in church, and they're pastors with me. All the guys we brought in here, some of them have pastors. They have churches under them as well. So we came here because it's like home to us. And do you know, they know what I'm about to say. I don't discuss his church with him. No. It's not his business. He focuses on his own church. We don't do it. Because that's your responsibility. You focus on your church. You focus on what you're doing. Focus on your own members. And what other thing we do? Do you discuss your members? You dare not do it. You don't do that. You are not co-pastors. You focus on your own flock. If you focus on your own flock, you see you have more challenges in your own flock than someone else's flock. Focus. We need to focus. It is what you focus on that will grow. If you focus on someone else's ministry, that is what will grow. Focus on your own work. Think. The guys in my fellowship, how's their life like? Have I been able to see transformation in their lives? That's my focus. Yeah. I'm not going to be debating with somebody on the street whether I say forever. He's already saved. But whether he's speaking, if you like, don't speak in tongues. That's your business. The guys who are already speaking in tongues, that attend to me every Tuesday, they show up, and I will focus on them. Eventually, that guy that we left, they will reach him. The power of focus. And you know, we're on the social media, and we can be very distracted. I don't pity a generation that grew up in the social media era. You know, when we were younger, of course, I'm talking about me, not them, Dr. Sight. I'm sure he has more archaic things. You literally will go to a video club to commit sin. Before you get the video club, the Holy Ghost will have convicted your heart. But this one, just your phone. The phone that you have, even your Bible on. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's so much distraction. You want to spend just 1 hour on your Facebook before you know it. They have something called video reels. Before you know it, 2 hours don't pass. 3 hours. And you now be feeling tired. You know, so distracted. Many believers are just like that. They get on social media. They don't know that they have a pastor. Everybody is now giving them instructions. Telling them information. This man of God is deep. Oh. This one too is deep. That one is deeper till you drown. So, you will just get lost. But you have a flock that you belong to. It's not a madhouse. Be focused. Jesus focused on those folks. When he rose from the dead, did you see him do outreach? No. Did you see him say, "All right, guys, you know"? No. He had 40 days to ensure that these guys were reset. So he did it 40 days of glory, amen. And he shot everybody out of it. And those guys were coming to church every day. They didn't tell their friends, "Omo, Jesus don't show." But tell anybody, you know we are bestie. Don't tell anybody. That one who will tell his bestie. She didn't tell Pilate. So one of the things he taught them in the service was keeping quiet. When people are being taught, it shows in how they talk. It shows you can easily know a well-pastored person on social media. It shows in how they talk. Keep quiet. They don't comment on everything trending. They watch. Has Jesus spoken? He hasn't spoken. They will still be shut up. The things that Jesus will say, they won't put their mouth. For 40 days, he spent time and taught them. Luke told us in Luke 1, 2, and 3, the things of the kingdom. The funny thing was that when he was even done, they still said nonsense. So imagine if you don't focus on your own people. You think it's other people that are ignorant. But who can also be that ignorant? So will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Hey, after 40 days teaching. on the last day. He said, hey,
it is not for you.
Hey, it was. Ah, we thought it was for us. After incisive teaching, he taught them. And what now happened? He now told them another instruction. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke 24:49. He had told them earlier, you are witnesses of me. Luke 24:48. Acts 1:8. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Disciples also understand caution. Wait in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now, when he said wait, they had enough sense to know how he meant wait. What were they doing? Pray. They prayed. So that on the day of Pentecost, they were quite sure that they were praying. Focus. The same 7th, 12, 3, 70, and maybe also eventually 120. That number on the day of Pentecost now multiplied to 3,000. We will reach the world if we focus. 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 And he focused on Jesus had raw materials. These guys were, they were, in fact, in Acts 4:13, they still said they were so uncultured, unlearned, in the sense of they were not really educated like others. But they took knowledge of the fact they had been with Jesus. Look at Acts 19. Hope we're learning something here. We need to focus. That focus is critical. It's not easy. Because we're in a world that already takes our attractions. But if we have where we're going to, we must be focused. Acts 19. The same thing happened to Paul. I'll just mention a few things now. Get out of your faces. Acts 19. Now, this is Paul in verse 2. He found in verse 1, certain disciples said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said in verse 2, they said to him, we have not heard so much without the Holy Ghost. He said to them, unto what then were you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. They heard this and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and he spoke with tongues and prophesied. All the men were about 12. Now look at 8. You mustn't miss this one. And he went to the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. He kept teaching the synagogues as a public space. Now let's read the B part together. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Similar to Jesus? Now, look at what happened. Let's take 9 together. Please, everybody, 9. Let's go. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, Paul kept returning to sender. He engaged them night and day. I will win this debate. Nope. He separated. He departed from them. Do you know when to depart? And he separated disciples. Can you see it again? Disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Say with me, focus. Say with me, focus. Imagine if he stayed there and they were talking from morning till night. Some will say, I think I got your point after 5 months. No, he just said, hey guys, don't let me burn my energy. Let me focus on those who are following me. He separated them. Is that just like Jesus? Well. So, he taught them daily. Daily. In the school of one Tyrannus. Let's take 10 together. These continued at the space of 2 years. So that all they that dwell... Can you see it now? They heard the word. Would everyone have heard the word if he stayed in the synagogue arguing? No. How did they hear the word? They heard the word through the people he taught. We must know who to separate. Eventually, everybody's going to hear it. Focus. Focus on the ones listening. Focus on the ones who show up. Focus on the ones that are your own flock. But you're not focusing on them to keep them. No. You're focusing on them to train them and reach the world. If you keep them for that sake, you're breeding a cult. Because a cult is the only thing, is something that is very difficult to join. That's a cult. We're not a cult. Yes, we're an expanding kingdom. So through them, the old Asia heard. These same guys, we'll get to that maybe tomorrow, now became the elders and the bishops in Acts 20:28 in Ephesus. But what was the pattern? We spent quality time focusing on them. The focus was not in exclusion of reaching others, no. But obviously, he spent more time with them, right? And taught them. Trained them. In fact, he said they saw him. In Acts 20, when he came back to them, in verse 21, that should be verse 19, he said they could see his suffering. He said, for the first day, you saw my life. You saw it. They knew so much. He said, you saw that how by example I labored to support the weak. So they were just like the disciples of Jesus. Then he will commit the flock to their hands. Eventually, you know, that was the church that he ran from, the one of the kingdom and stuff like that, and he ran and he had to go. So we must know who we have responsibility over now. Who are you training? You cannot train everybody. No. You have to know who. So people are born again. They join your cell group. They join your house fellowship. It's time to build them. It's time to train them. Quickly pick out your own Peter, your James, your John, your 12, your 70. They start to do intense work, which includes teaching by precept and by example, giving them tasks. For people like that, you ensure they go around the work of the ministry. I was trained well, and thank God. There was no department I didn't pass through. I've been an usher, I've been a children's church, I've been a music team, I've been a protocol, I've been everywhere. Been in the technical. One time I got my hand go, woo! Because the kind of speaker, I mean, the kind of amplifier we had could just amplify your blood. Hey, stop like that. And walked in to clean the church. And all through time I was doing all that. I had ministry to run. I had things I was doing. I was learning. Just like Jesus. Going through the motions. Everything. So guys, who are the sheep? Who is on your heart now? If you want to pray tonight, who are you going to pray for? You can't pray for the body of Christ. Who? Who is the shepherd you are praying for? Who is the John? Who is the Amaka you are praying for? That you are going to see tomorrow. That you'll ensure he hears the word. Who is the person who is going to stress you like Peter? Ask you funny questions. You know, be entitled like John. Who is your Judas? Oh, you're going to have Judas. Who is your Thomas? That we will play with the Holy Ghost if you like him. Who is your Matthew the tax collector? Who are those raw materials in your fellowship? Who are they? Don't go and recruit disciples. Don't recruit disciples. Raise disciples. You don't recruit disciples, you give vacancy. Who want to be my disciple? No, raise them. Raise them from the point where nobody can even see future. You teach them. Take them on evangelism yourself. See them say nonsense. Don't correct them there, shall and say, that's not how to preach. We just watch them. We follow through with them. And then they see it, just like Jesus. And they are watching as you're building, as you're training, building the work of the ministry in your hearts. With what in view? The city is in view. The nation is in view. But we have to start. If we're going to have a forest, we have to treat the seeds well. The seeds are the people who are in your fellowship now. So it's good to see the vision of the nations of people coming to your fellowship, your zone, and your church in whatever city you're watching us, or your nation. But if you are not going to take care of the 12, you cannot reach the nation. If you won't teach the 3 or the 70, that dream you are seeing will only become a nightmare. It won't come to pass. You must learn to focus. So I'm saying it tonight as I close. A good minister closes 6 times. Where is your focus? Remember, when you are distracted, you do everything. When you are confused, you do anything. Don't be distracted. Don't be. Now, what am I talking about? You can be in the body of Christ now. Everybody's now preaching on prayer. You say, hey, I think what is really is prayer. You have your own flock. What do they need? What should you be teaching? What should they be hearing? There are guys that you will have to visit their mother-in-law, amen, who has fallen ill. There are people that they'll fall sick, you visit them. There are those that will have questions, you answer it. There are those that will have their own challenges, you face it. Some will have character problems, you focus on it. What you are building is more than one person. You are building nations. It's time we treat the seeds well so we can get the harvest. Now, last week, how many people came to church through your fellowship? 10. Very well. How many did you go back to check during the week? None. So the week after, one person returns out of the 10. So you just simply add another 9. So the 10 is complete without the 9. You just keep recycling people. There's nobody you are really building. And sometimes the reason why we don't do that is because we are not even patient. Someone says, I didn't know you were coming. Switch off the phone. You just say, remove that one thing from the book of life. Move somebody else. You keep recycling so many people because you are not even patient to raise any. You are going to have to take a lot of things to yourself. Because you are not building people you invite. You are building people that you are training. The people that your disciples do not need publicity. No. After a while, they don't come in buses to church. They come there by themselves. Because now you are training. Are you building like that today? And raising men in that light? Be focused. Don't forget, that's the core of this session. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Be focused. Your focus is the nations, the city, the town, the village where you are, the state. But you can't get that happen till you focus on the 3, the 12, the 70. Avoid distractions. There are those who will just be engaging you. You just be on social media arguing needlessly with people that don't care. Yet there are those who need your attention. They need your attention. Once you are talking to somebody in your fellowship needs to be prayed for, and the Holy Ghost is trying to get your attention. Pray in tongues a bit more. Just say, no! What is it you know? What is it you know? People don't know anything. You don't know anything. Do you know this verse? Do you know that verse? They are just arguing, looking for who is right. But there's somebody in your fellowship who doesn't even know how to read his Bible. You left that one. You are focusing on somebody who will never ever be in your sheepfold. You are wasting your time. Eventually, that person is going to hear you. He will. If it's to be, focus on that guy. Pay attention. to those who have been coming. That's why for me, if people, for example, are listening, they're attacking you and attacking, just switch off, don't watch them. You know the reason why? Because if you focus on people attacking you, by the time you come to church, you'll be answering them and not teaching the people. So in your fellowship, ensure that you separate your disciples, put them in one place, and then begin to raise them. The best way, to reach a city is to focus on the few that will learn. Be trained. And our quiet operations, we're meeting. Gradually, the place is filled. Look at how we've been having these meetings. Asking questions, we're praying. And I'm telling you, as we're hitting the streets, and then gradually, one becomes five. Five becomes 25, because we're now being imparted and trained. Avoid the distraction, because that world is still going to be reached if we focus. So who are your three? Who are your 12? Who are your 70? In your cell group, in your fellowship, focus on them. Spend for them. Sacrifice for them. Give for them. As you're thinking now, you're thinking on Sunday, we're 20. John didn't come last Sunday. Peter didn't. Okay, you're thinking about them. Praying. Getting them across. Focus. Even when you bring them on Sunday, I say, you are the one that knows what you're doing. Jesus took those guys to pray and they were sleeping. On two occasions. The same people now learned to pray steadfastly. Why? Because Jesus never gave up on them. You are raising them. Be focused. We need a lot of focus on the people under us now. With us. It could just be 2 people, 3, 4, 5. It could just be 10. It could just be 15. This church, I'm sure, sat in the sitting room somewhere where there will be, if at those periods, I'm sure you will teach from morning till night. Investing so much. Years down the line. Doctor could never have started with a hall. Without with a hall, it's a concert you want to start. The bedroom. I'm sure Mama will have been cooking for some people till some people will be coming just to eat. Am I giving a word of knowledge? You'll just be coming to eat. You almost be like, is it what you came for to come and eat? But gradually. And that is how every cell group will look like. Every fellowship. Because the dream of that cell group is to be a cell group that is planting other ones. You are a seed, and nothing dies in your hands. Nothing dies in your hands. Amen. What is in your hands will blossom. Amen. It will blossom. Amen. But guys, let's focus. Focus on it. Focus on it. Create time. You know, I did a survey in church. I'll close in the next 5 minutes, I promise. I did a survey. And we have this in the church I pastor in Lagos, that's in Yaba where I pastor, and I did a survey of those who had different fellowships. And I did an example. I said, your fellowship is growing or struggling because you hardly have time. Yeah. Is pastor, please, can we move our meeting? Can you imagine? Some will fix their meeting to when they are available. I said, no. I said, notice that other person. Always available. Always around. They're always doing prayer meetings. They're always, of course, they'll grow. You're not even around. You're busy. Sometimes the person will go phew and come back. When you don't focus, it won't grow. You have to put the dedication. Pastor is here 30 days. I've tried to do it. I didn't succeed. I did 14 days. Yeah. I said, oh, that's Dr. Damina. I said, no, it's not given to me. To him it is given. To him it's not given. Let me act like I'm without.
But what I'm trying to say is the dedication. Can you be that dedicated?
Hey, you know, since I'm not the pastor of the whole church, that's why what you have in your hands will not grow. You must think that way. The principles have to be the same. Commitment, focus. Some of them you just call them, how are you doing today? I'm fine. It's not every time you just say, Jesus died for your sins. Mm-mm. Sometimes, how are you doing? I'm fine. So that's work. So, because they are with you, they are your concern. And you are raising apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for Jesus who will come in a raw form. But as we focus on them, we build them. The nations are reached. You get that tonight? Amen. Can you see who they are? Are they coming to your faces? The 12? The 70? So we're going to go back to them and be focused. Give them that time. Be available. When you are praying, pray for them. Let them be on your heart. Sometimes you are driving and you just pray in tongues and you are praying for that guy. Just like that. Because it's always on your heart. Let us pray. I want us to just pray this evening to be focused on our responsibility. Nothing dies in our hands. Nothing. Oh, pray for your fellowship, your zone, to be focused at this moment. Your church, your campus. I realize we have other people speaking, watching us. I always forget. Your campus, your nation. That your eyes are open to the three, the one, the 12, the 70, the 120. Within that number is your nation. There are seeds that will grow into harvest. I'm telling you confidently. As we focus. Right now, just 1 minute. Dedicate yourself to those people now. I am dedicated to them. I'll be spent for them. I'll be available for them. The same way my pastor, he's committed to me and focused on me night and day.